So good morning again. Good morning. Wonderful, wonderful time in God's presence already. Hope that you took that word to heart. I love that Stephen had those questions for his class, exactly what the Lord was putting on my heart and all these guys. And we all got to the same place in Christ, right? We all got to realize that, keep our eyes on Jesus. Our discernment's in Him, our wisdom's in Him, our focus is in Him. Yeah, amen. That's good stuff. If you weren't here last week, go online and look at Isaac Bene. He is from Ghana, and the message was powerful and good stuff. So you're left with yours truly today, and I'm excited to talk again about being equipped. Anyone remember the Greek word for that? Exactly. Katartizo. Katartizo, that one. Yep, that one. Oh, yeah, that, I knew that. Yeah. The murmur floats across the crowd. I knew that one. I just wanted someone else to say it. So it's talking about being equipped. This is the verse, the text that we've been operating off of. This is only our third one of these, and I just felt like we weren't quite done with that, and the Lord had some more for us. And it's Hebrews 13, 20 and 21, and it's closing out the book of Hebrews. And there's this great prophetic prayer that the writer of Hebrews is praying over the Hebrew church, you know, the Hebrew letter, the people that are going to be reading that. And guess what? We're part of the people that are reading that. So it's this prayer, prophetic prayer, that is echoing throughout the hallways of history, that is still producing results. This prayer that, if you read a prayer in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, it's a good prayer. Like, you can get on board with that, right? They recorded the prayers that are after God's heart. And so this is the prayer that was not just for the people that were going to be reading Hebrews in the first century. It's for the people that are reading Hebrews today. Because the Word of God is just good for like a day or two, right? And the shelf life on it. You got to get it in the fridge or it's going to go bad, right? No, the Word of God is eternal. Say eternal. The Word of God is eternal. So the promises and the predictions, the prayers, all of the stuff that are in the Scripture, they're eternal. So we'll read this together, not together, but I'll read this. You follow along with your eyeballs. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, equip you with everything good to do his will, working in us what is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And so we spend a couple weeks on talking about this word equip. So we're highlighting kind of this part of the verse here. May the God of peace equip you with everything good to do his will. Equip you. And that sounds good, but it's better than it sounds. Like, it's really, really good. And so we're just kind of reviewing just a second. And this is a brand new slide, but it's kind of a review thought, kind of just explaining katartizo. This is from Warren Wiersbe. He says the phrase make you perfect or equip in this version is the translation of one Greek word, katartizo. This is an unfamiliar word to us, but it was familiar to the people who received this letter. The doctors knew what katartizo meant because it meant to set a broken bone. To fishermen, it meant to mend a broken net. You guys remember that visual? We put a slide of that up there. To sailors, katartizo meant to outfit a ship for a voyage. We actually talked about that. The katartizo and exartizo. And to soldiers, it meant to equip an army for battle. This is the prayer that is being prayed for you. Amen. I don't know if anyone caught that, Jim. I think they're waiting for like a better part. Or like, this is as good as it gets. This is a prayer that is prayed 2,000 years ago and is still producing fruit for you. Yes, say for me. Yeah, it's for you. Ah, who needs a broken bone set? Whether that's physically or whether that's spiritually, emotionally. You ever feel beat up emotionally? Mentally? You ever just, my head's got a broken bone in it, right? Like just... Anyone ever had wrong thinking before? Anyone been disjointed spiritually? Trying to get in the groove. And it means to mend, to set a broken bone, to mend broken nets. Man, wear and tear of life, right? This is all kind of review from last time, but to sailors, it meant to outfit a ship for a voyage. man, I'm going out on the open seas. I need to know which way is north. I need to have food and good, clean water. Like, it means to equip you for your voyage, equip you to get to your destiny. How many would think it's a good thing for you to get to your destiny? Yeah, make it to your part of a successful voyage is making it to the destination. Just saying, no matter how good or bad the voyage was in the middle, like, just kind of want to, like, the low-hanging fruit, like, the minimum is that you actually make it to where you're going. Like, if we're heading up to see Mom and Dad, and we're like, oh, man, we had such a great trip, and it was so awesome, we were jamming out to the tunes, and the purpose of the trip is to go up and see Mom and Dad. Maybe we're opening presents, or maybe they're cooking me a big meal of stroganoff. Some side pork or, you know, something, you know, and we get around the curves by Perker Lake. We're like, oh, look at the lake. The lake is so awesome, you know. And then we stop by the water tower. We're like, this has been a great trip. And then we just turn around and go home. Like, it was a good trip, but we didn't make it to where we were going. So God wants to equip you for the voyage. And the purpose of the voyage is for you to walk faithfully with him and make it to the end fully assured and matured, right? Amen? You see where we're going with this? You want to make it to the end. You don't want to fail halfway. That's right out, as they would say over in England. That's right out. The last one, to the soldiers, it meant to equip an army for battle. Yeah. Giving you the right attitudes, the right vision, the right tools to go into battle and to succeed. That's good stuff. One more review slide. How does God equip us? We looked at three different ways. He equips us through his word. He equips us, we don't like this one as much. He equips us through trials. And he equips us, that's what I love about church, he equips us through others. He equips us through others. I heard a phrase a long time ago, not a long time ago, a little while ago, that just, it really challenged me, that a lot of times our destiny is locked up inside of the giftings of someone else. And we need to be in community as a body. We need to be in good relationship, and we need to be being accountable and walking life together, because often the key that you need is locked up in the heart and the giftings of someone else. And you serve and love them, and they're serving and loving you as we're doing it mutually. No one's trying to get ahead or benefit, but that they've got a nugget, or they've got a key, or they've got a gifting, or they've got an insight that is going to set you free, and it's going to propel you to the next level. I just thought that was really powerful. But through others, often God equips us. Anyone ever been with, just processed through the four different things that we were thinking about. Anyone ever been with someone and you spent the afternoon and it felt like they set a broken bone? They mended a broken net. Your heart went away richer and fuller. And maybe you've got some clarity on some things now. Maybe this net is mended. It's still, you can see the repair, but it's mended now. It can do what it needs to do. God's healing our hearts, right? All that kind of stuff. So we're moving along in the verse. I'm going to change the focus. And so instead of just talking about the equip, now may the God of peace equip you with everything good. May God equip you with everything good. That's where we're going to camp out just for a little bit today. And you see, God is our supplier. God is our source. Everything that we need for our journey, all the mending, all the repairing, all of the equipping of the vessel, all the equipping of the army, every mindset, every tool, every nugget of truth, everything that we need is in him. It's in Jesus, right? It's in God. God is the supply house. He's the storehouse. He's the supplier, right? He's the supply network, right? He's got the stuff, and he's the means of distributing it. And we have to realize that we're the ones that need it. And it's really easy for us to like to be in charge of distribution. So we either kind of demand that God gives us this, or we don't want to sit and wait around for that. So we'll try to go find in our own strength, in our own way. We'll find something that mends my net in the way that I think it should be mended, or sets the broken bone, or equips me for what I need. And there's this partnership, absolutely, but we got to remember that God is the supplier and God's the giver of good things. So that's the prayer, is that may the God of peace equip you with everything good. And a lot of times, how many have had an unpleasant experience at the doctor? Everyone, you know. And often it's good, but it doesn't feel good in the moment. And multiple of our children have been to, all of our children have been to the doctor for various things. And I was trying to think of a good Aspen story, but we'll just.
You don't have to.
Aspen, one time we got the. Wasn't wearing shoes, which you shouldn't as a kid, but we always said careful of the.
Oh, I was wearing flip-flops.
Oh, you were wearing flip-flops. Oh, sorry. Let's get the story right. Yep. Yep. And we have these little cactuses, South Dakota cactuses. Those are little, what are they, thistles or whatever they are. And so she jammed a thistle in the bottom of her toe. And this is a long time ago. But back then, she was really fearful of me digging with a needle in the bottom of her toe. So we thought, well, we'll just let it fester, and it'll. I kind of used to get slivers all the time doing construction. I would purposely leave them in because then they get all swelled up, and then you go, and then you shoot out, and it's just kind of fun. And we thought, well, that'll be enjoyable later. And not so much. It didn't get infected, and so it just calloused over, but it still hurt her. And so we had to go to the doctor, and now instead of a little needle, now we pull out a knife. Doctor was doing good things, but do you think Aspen was excited about the good things? Oh, it's so funny to you until God's wanting to do those good things in your life, and he's pulling out the knife, and you're like, oh, wait a minute, it was fun. Let's talk about Aspen again, right? And God pulls out the knife for our life, and it doesn't feel pleasant, and it doesn't feel good, and it doesn't feel helpful. But if our eyes are on Jesus and we're pursuing him, we've got to trust that this prayer is coming to pass in our life, that not only is God equipping us, but he's equipping us with everything good. Mending the nets hurts sometimes. We've got to deal with some garbage in our lives sometimes. Setting those broken bones, that's not helpful. It limits us sometimes because you've got to let the cast do its work. You with me? Sometimes it feels counterintuitive. It doesn't feel good. And so we're left with the question, is God really good? And that's what you've got to answer in your life. You've got to come to terms with who God is and what his character is like. And that's why we're always going to sing songs like, he's a good, good father, or I'll sing of the goodness of God. You know, his ways are good. I want to rehearse those things in my mind because I'm pretty good at convincing myself that I don't deserve what I'm feeling right now, and so God must not be good. You guys wouldn't do that, but let me just tell you, I can do that. And so I can question him. I can question his character. And so I want to remind myself with his word and as I sing and as I rehearse those things in my mind that I'm always rehearsing the truth about who God is. And so we've got to settle in our hearts who God really is. And God really is good. And he really does have good things to equip you with. But sometimes we resist it. He wants to set your bone, and we resist that. I have a scar right here. I was making a bow and arrow out of some bendy wood, and so I had the handsaw out. It's back when things were run by hand. So I was cutting this piece of wood, and I didn't realize that if you had your hand there, the saw would just go right into it. So what do I know? I'm just a kid. Who lets kids play with saws, for crying out loud? Jeez. So cut pretty deep in there. And so they took me to the hospital. At least they did that, right? And so the next step was to get stitches. No. We're not taking a needle. And so I screamed and threw enough of a fit that we did not get stitches. And so fortunately, the end of the story is everything worked out all right. But I was resistant to what the doctors wanted to do in that moment. Probably should have. It would be less of a scar maybe. I don't know. But we get resistant to what God wants to do, even though it's good for us. So, I got a bunch of verses for you today. And this is going to be either a train wreck or it's going to be really interesting. And I hope it's really interesting. Have you guys ever just been somewhere where, like, you're really into, I don't know what it is, classic cars or whatever, and then you go to a car show and there it's as far as the eye can see? Or I remember the first time I went into, I don't even know if it's in existence anymore, but the big Chinese buffet in Fargo, and it was three whole tiers. I'm like, and it's like as far as you could see, like all the way to the other end of the restaurant, and I'm like, I didn't know there was this much food. And, you know, I was like 22, and so I'm like, I'm going to eat all of this food. And I think I did a pretty good job of it. And so that's my son. And my son is in the largest knife store in the world. And my son really liked knives. So I don't know how old you are there. But how long do you think it took him to go through that store? It was a long time. Because it was multiple levels as far as the eye could see. And so he did come out with a knife. You still got that knife, Taylor? He still got the knife from the world's biggest knife store. And he was super excited about that. I'm kind of busy right now. Do you need a hug? Okay, we could probably do this later. That's all right. Come to Jesus like a little child, right? That's all right. Yeah. So there's this, when he walked out of that store, not only did he have a knife in his hand, but he had a new perspective on how many knives there really are and different kinds of knives. And he had a wealth of experience. And so that's kind of what I'm hoping to do with the next 4,000 verses here. Is this kind of show you in the scripture. It didn't start out like this. I had the whole rest of the message planned out, and last night I was kind of was sitting with it, and this verse popped in my head. I'm like, oh, that would be a good, that would really nail that point. And then another one popped in my head. I'm like, oh, that one's really good too. And then another one popped in. I'm like, well, that would really clarify it. So I'm like, well, we'll move part of the message, and we'll just do a section of these. And they just kept coming. I'm like, oh, my. Like, well, that's what the message is going to be tomorrow. And so I want us to get to answer or to see how the scripture supports this statement. God will give us what we need when we need it. Now, remember, we're in Hebrews 13, and it's katartizo. God's going to equip you with everything good. Everything good. Okay? God wants to give you and equip you and place into you everything good. God has everything that you need right now, in this moment. And he wants to bless you with it. He wants to impart it into you. So we're just going to take a quick journey through scripture. And if we crash and burn, hey, we'll have fun doing it. But I think it's going to be good. And if it does to you what it did to me last night, I just went, oh, I didn't realize there was so many rich verses about what God is giving us everything good that we need. So let's take a stroll. In Philippians 4:19... it says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. It's what we opened up talking about. God's the storehouse. He has what you need. We go to him and he provides. Come on. He's the supplier. He's the supply chain. Next verse says, 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says this. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He'll not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Where does your way out come from? Where does it come from? It's a church answer. Starts with G, sounds like sod. So God, he will also provide a way out. Oh, okay, we're good. We're getting lots of hugs today. I like lots of hugs. And as I was just kind of meditating on this verse last night, I feel like so many times we're in the middle of our temptation, we're in the middle of our struggle. It's exactly what the Lord was speaking to us today. That's what we get focused on. And we like to tell people how much we're struggling, and we got our eyes on this temptation or this struggle or this pain or this hardship. And God is saying he's going to provide a way out. He's going to provide a way out so that you can endure it. God's going to provide the way out. So when you're in the middle of a temptation, oh, I just don't know, I might fall again. Oh, I just don't know if I can make it through this. Hold on a second. Are you looking for the way out? Because God's made a promise here, right? He's going to equip you with all good things. This is one of the good things. He's going to provide you a way out. God is going to provide an answer and a solution to whatever it is that you're going through. He's going to provide a way out so that you can endure, that you can get through this. If you're looking at the thing, if you're looking at the temptation, if you're looking at the problem, if you're looking at where you're stuck, guess where? Guess where you're going to be in 2 years? You're going to be right there. So the way that we endure it, right? If you're in a hallway, we had to do for I used to work for the bus. It was just terrible. The boss was terrible. It was just kidding. Boss is awesome. But we had to go through a bus with a smoke bomb in there to try to find the child that's stuck in the bus. It's pretty intense, and you can't see anything, and you're in there. But if you can see the light at the end, and you know that's my way out, if there's no way out, all of a sudden you're just stuck in this smoke, and it's just suffocating you. But if you can see the way out, guess what you can do? Well, I can endure this for 40 more feet, because I know that my way out is there. Are you with me this morning? If you can see the way out, you can endure what you need to go through because you want to get out. God said he's going to provide the way out. So in the middle of your temptation, stop looking at your temptation and how hard that is and how difficult this circumstance. Start looking for the way out. And who has the way out? Jesus does. Look to Jesus. It seems like this fits what God's saying already this morning. Let's look to Jesus and look for the way out. And it's okay to pray about the stuff, and God, this is really difficult, whatever. We see David doing that all the time. But he also has given us a promise that there's a way out of this thing. Let's keep going. God's going to give us what we need when we need it. So when they arrest you, hey, all right, I like this one. It's a good fridge magnet verse. And hand you over. Don't worry beforehand what you will say, but say whatever is given to you at that time. For it isn't you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. God said, hey, there might be some trials that you're not anticipating coming up in your life, and you don't know what you're going to say. Is there a good lawyer in town? Hey, if you're walking with Jesus, he's going to give you what you need when you need it. Right? Hebrews 13, he's going to katartizo you with every good thing. That's what we're talking about. All of this equipping is for his glory. Come on. He's going to give you what you need when you need it. What's our next verse, Pastor? Well, glad you asked. It's Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom, seek his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Now, this is out of context. You know, it's about, you know, men running after, you know, clothes and food and all the things that we worry ourselves about. Anyone ever worried yourself about something that maybe you didn't even need to? Right? We're worried about all these kind of things, but Jesus, saying in Matthew 6:33 here, seek first his kingdom. And God's going to he's going to give you what you need when you need it. He's going to give you what you need when you need it. Let's not let anxiety rise up. Let's not walk by the flesh. See, there's often a conditional clause in all of these things. There's this prayer, this prophetic prayer in Hebrews, but then Jesus is saying right here, but seek first his kingdom. Like, okay, you got to position yourself. Seek him first, right? There's all these kind of things. Here, don't worry beforehand, right? Don't let the anxiety come up. Don't let the emotions rise up. Don't walk in the flesh. And that's what he's saying. That's what it's going to be given to you if we don't let our flesh rise up so much that we can't hear the Lord. All right? You're doing good. Let's go through a couple more. Luke 11. You fathers, you didn't say it like that, I don't think. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? That would be silly. Why would we do that? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God will give us what we need when we need it. This prayer in Hebrews is saying, God wants to katartizo, equip you, furnish you, mend your nets, heal your broken bones, prepare you for your journey, set you up with everything that you need for life and godliness to be prosperous in him. And we see this over and over and over that he's going to give it to us. He's going to give it to us. He's going to give it to us. He's going to give us everything we need when we need it. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest." Doesn't that sound good? Rest for our weary souls. But we've got to come to Jesus. It almost seems like that's what we heard this morning. If you want the rest, you've got to go to Jesus. You've got to go to the author of the rest. So many of us are striving, looking for the rest somewhere else. Well, I love Jesus, absolutely, but I'm going to try to find rest somehow. I'm going to soothe my soul somehow. Jesus is saying, man, if you're weary and burdened, anyone ever been weary and burdened? Oh, man, Jesus is the answer for that. He's the unloader of burdens, and he's the energizer of our soul. He's going to give us rest. Well, let's do some more. Luke 10. "Look, I have given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing at all will harm you. However, don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you." Like, keep your head in the right place. Keep looking to Jesus. "But rejoice that your names are written in heaven." That's what Isaac was talking about last week. You know, his family was worried that now the spirits were going to be able to overcome him. And remember what he said? "But they do not know the power of God." Right? They don't know the true power of Jesus. And that's what Jesus was saying. "I've given you that authority." We can use that authority because God gives us what we need when we need it. He's given us every good gift that we need. Come on. Luke 12 says this, "Don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom." We've got a new authority and a new kingdom to walk in. Kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy. It makes God happy to give us the kingdom. And the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. How many could use some more joy? A little bit of peace. His righteousness, yeah. Anyone ever feel like you're failing and not enough? Jesus said, "I am your righteousness." Bible says that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that you're clothed in his righteousness. Wow, I like that. That's a good thing because I know what my righteousness looks like. Meh. And I know that the kingdom of God is given to me and to you, to walk in righteousness, peace, and joy, and every other good thing that's in the kingdom of God. Again, this is a little weird. I know, I don't have any cool quotes by guys up there. We're not telling funny stories, but I just wanted you to see the richness of just verse after verse after verse of all the different things that God's been given, that you have been given, will be given, can be given. Luke chapter 21. This is kind of the sister verse to the other one in Mark that we read. But this will be your opportunity to tell them about me. So don't worry in advance how to answer the charges against you, for I will give you the right words and such wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to reply or refute you. Yeah. So don't worry. Why is he telling us not to worry? Just so that we feel better? Guys, this is a key. We talked about it. That's what in that little halftime thing when we were talking, I just felt the Lord was saying that. That's key. Because what are we doing when we're worrying? Are we in the spirit or are we in the flesh? Yeah. Jesus has said, "Here's your supply. I'm going to give you the right words and wisdom." How many would just love to have the right words to say all the time when we're sharing Jesus with our friends or when a problem comes up and you're just like, man, I just knew what to say. I knew the exact thing, right, to say. And such wisdom. And wow, they were talking about this. This was kind of the problem. And the Lord just gave me wisdom. And I'm like, yeah, that looks like the problem, but here's the real problem. And they're like, whoa, how did you know that? That's cool. Those are cool stories. That really happens. Don't go to sleep on me. I know it's a lot of verses. You're processing. Hold on. Don't let thine eyes get milky. So this isn't just a don't worry, be happy. It's not that. There's a key in here. We're like, Jesus told us not to worry so that we don't have to worry so that we can feel better. No. He said don't worry because you're going to get in the wrong mode. You're going to be operating in the wrong structure. He's like, don't worry, because that worry is going to elevate the flesh to the point where I don't hear the words that God's saying and I don't have the wisdom that God wants to give me. Does that make sense? Are you following with me?
Yeah.
At least can we agree on the concept? It's a little easier to say than it is to do, but can we agree that once we get our hearts all aflutter in the spirit of worry, that that's the spirit then that we need to get the answers from? And I don't know about you, but I have never gotten anything good from the spirit of worry except ulcers, and that's not good. So Jesus said, don't worry in advance. Some of you, not even satisfied with worrying. You have to worry in advance. You got things that I'm worrying about that I don't even know that they've happened yet. I'm pre-worrying about them just so I can get a running start at it and worry my way through it really good. Some of you guys have really, there's a well-worn path for that. Jesus wants to break that. Amen? It's funny because it's true, right? We laugh because it hurt. We're like, ha, ooh. And that's what Jesus said. You want to have the wisdom and power of God? I'm going to give it to you. I'm your supply chain. I'm the supply house. But you got to not worry. You can't elevate your normal process of walking through these problems. Pastor, that's good stuff. I know. Thank you. Wow, I like when you preach like this. I know. Me too. I can encourage myself in the Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16 says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. Ha. He's going to give you what you need when you need it. Remember, this is just a smattering. After I got done with this, I'm like, oh, yeah, there's that one. Oh, there's that one. Oh, and he gives us this. Oh, and I'm like, no, we got to stop. So there's a few more. Ephesians 1:17 says, I keep asking, this is another prayer, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We kind of talked about that a little bit today. So that you may know him better. That's Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus and for us. Romans 15 says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement. Anyone ever wish you had a little more endurance and encouragement? God's the giver of those things. Give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had. Ooh. We like how it starts. We're not so excited about how it ends. But God is wanting to give you the right mindset as you're dealing with difficult people. People that rub you the wrong way, even people that love Jesus and smile about Jesus, and I just kind of want to punch them between their two teeth, okay? Because that's fleshly. But God's saying the God that gives you endurance and encouragement wants you to treat people and have the attitude about them that Christ had. So he's going to give us the attitude that Jesus had about these people. 2 Timothy 2:7 says, consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. How's that for a cool promise? You ever had something that you needed some more understanding about? You just don't know how to process something, don't know how to deal with it? Well, there's a great little verse. God's going to give you what you need when you need it. But there's, again, the conditional. Consider what I say, right? Get in the Word of God. Consider what the Lord is saying. James 1:5 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God who, what? Gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be, what? Given to you. God's going to give you what you need when you need it. Keep coming to him. He's the source. And I think we're just about done, but 1 Peter 4, verse 11 says, do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. I want to sign up for that, strength and energy. But the condition is, do it unto others, right? Use your gifts to serve Jesus. A couple more. Ephesians 4:7. Now grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. I hope that you're like Taylor in the knife store right now. I hope you're not just checking out and getting fuzzy-headed. But I hope that you're just kind of being, whoa, I didn't know that God's given us that. That's what happened to me last night. As I was sitting there with all these verses, I'm like, whoa, that's right. God did give us that too. Oh, God gave us that too. Whoa, God gave us that too. And I hope that it just primes your mind to think like that. That's what I'm trying to do today. I'm just trying to like fire hose, right? And like, you're not going to remember all these, but what I'm trying to do is shift your perspective. Because I think sometimes we're so poverty-minded that, oh, maybe God will give me one answer to prayer sometime. Maybe he just loves me a little bit. I don't know, right? That's what I'm going to war against here today. I'm like, verse after verse after verse. Everyone's like, oh, verse, you got more. Come on, verse. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to shock your system into realizing that there's so much more that you've been given or can be given than we realized. Overload today. James 4:6 says, but he gives us more grace. That's why scriptures say God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Again, there's the condition, right? We do play a part. Like, you have to get your mind and your heart in the right spot so that God can pour up, but it's never begging him to want to give. He wants to give. He wants to give. Come on, he wants to give. How many want more grace? Amen. Then be humble. End of the story, right? Then you put yourself in that position, and God's like, pull the lever, man. Comes flooding out. Well, I just have to be humble on my own, right? Well, you choose to be humble. God gives you the grace to be humble. He just wants your heart to say yes. He wants your heart to say yes, and then he'll hook you up. And I think this is the last one. This is a good one. 2 Peter 1:3-4 says, by his divine power, God has given us everything. Say everything. Everything we need for a godly life. We've received all this by coming to know him, the one who's called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share. Whoa, wait a minute. Share in his divine nature. Wow, and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Man, that seems like a good thing to be given. Everything you need for life and godliness. Escape the world's corruption. Hey, sign me up. God's divine nature that I get to participate in. I get to share in this supernatural nature, brand new nature. I know how much strength I have on my own. It's not much. We can make it to Tuesday at best, right? But God's divine nature and these promises that we've just read through, a whole ton of them, gives us everything that we need. Finish up with this, just to rehash this. Now may the God of peace equip you with everything good. I hope that your systems were just shocked a little bit. I hope that we just aren't walking away just kind of in a brain fog, but just realize there's so much more. You can go just, you know, I'll put in them a new heart and a new spirit, right? Like, there's just verse after verse that he's going to give us these things. Just position your heart, and God, you're not having to beg the Lord to give you things. God wants to give. He wants to bless. He wants to pour out. He wants to strengthen. He wants to mend your nets. He wants to set your broken bones. He wants to equip you for your voyage. He wants to equip you for your battle. And that's a good thing. Amen? Amen. Amen.